Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Megillah Daf Chaf Ches. We're going to repeat what we started learning yesterday, the very last lines of Chaf Zayin Omid Beis. We're in the middle of a very fascinating Gemara that talks about why certain Talmidei Chachamim live such long lives. And we went through a couple yesterday, and we had actually read Shalu Talmidei V'Rav Preida. We're on the very last line of Chaf Zayin Omid Beis. The Talmidim asked Rav Preida, "Bamer after Yomim, to what do you attribute your long life?" We discussed this a little bit yesterday, so we'll just remind ourselves of these things because we're going to now discuss in more detail. So Amal Hems, Rav Preida told the Talmidim, "Miyamai lo kedamani adon leis medrash. Nobody ever beat me to the base medrash. I was the first one there every morning. V'lo birachti lifnei kohen, and I never made the bracha." Rashi understands this as birchas hamazon, when there was a kohen present. V'lo achalti mibehemo shlohur mumatnosen, and I never ate from an animal that the zro l'chayayim in the keva, the matnas kuhuna, were not taken off first. Now, I had already discussed all of these yesterday, but now we're going to go and discuss it in more detail. Now, why didn't he eat the animal, which is partially kosher, it was shechted, even though the matnos kahuna were not taken off, the zrola chayim in the cave were not given to the kohen? Why didn't they eat with such an animal? Because the Amar of Yitzchak, Amar of Yochanan, Rav Yitzchak said in the name of Rav Yochanan, "Asu lechol bi behema shlohor mumatnosel." The one isn't allowed to eat from such a behema. It's like the animal is tevel. The Amar of Yitzchak, "Kol ochel behema shlohor mumatnosel kilu ochel tevalim." So this very stringent opinion Rav Yitzchak brings down in the name of Rav Yochanan, and then he says himself, is that if you go and eat from such an animal, it's like you're eating tevel. So if this was the halacha l'maisa, so then we wouldn't be able to say, because you followed a din in the Torah, that we can automatically say that you can have a long life. It's, as we pointed out, b'mer achti yomim was something special they did, something lifnei mishuras hadin. This is the din. So we can't say that because I did this, I automatically got arichas yomim. So the Gemara says, v'les hilchas l'kavase. But the halacha is not like this. In fact, the halacha is, you can eat the meat from such an animal. It is not considered tevel. One of the reasonings are behind this is that by tevel, it's a true mixture. When you have grain that is not yet been tied, so in that grain, every piece is a mixture of truma and maestros and cholin. Only when you separate it, do you separate it out, but you don't know beforehand. By the animal, we know this is the flank and that's heter to eat. We know that this is the thigh, that's heter to eat. And this is the zroah l'chayayim in the keva. Those parts of the animal, the right forearm, the l'chayayim are the cheeks, the keva is the maw of the stomach. So those are not allowed to be eaten anytime. They're not mixed in. And therefore, that's why the rest of the animal is not considered tevel. So we don't posit like this. So the chiddush is, there are preda when lifnei mishuras hadin. And even though this wasn't the halacha l'maisa, he followed this practice and wouldn't eat from such an animal that the zroah l'chayayim in the keva would not take it off. That's why he says this is special. Number two reason that Rav Preida gave was v'lo birachti lifnei kohen. I never said birchas hamazon. I wasn't the one who mizamin if there was a kohen present. Tosfos has a slightly different understanding of this and says that they never took rishon as the aliyah if there was a kohen present. Now, we discussed previously the great Rav Huna, that all the kohanim was subordinate to him, and he would actually take kohen aliyah even though he wasn't the kohen. So Rav Preida could have also done that and taken the Kohen's Aliyah, but he never did it, even though he was deserving of doing so. So that's how Tosfos understands this. In any event, Gemara says, that seems to imply that by allowing a Kohen to always be the one to lead the benching, let's say, or to always be the one to get the Kohen's Aliyah, Lememra Demal Yusi, that's a praiseworthy activity. But that doesn't seem to be the case. Bamer Yochan, Yochan tells us, Kol Talmud Chacham Shiva Barach Lefanav, Afilu Kohen Gadol Am Aretz. If a Talmud Chacham lets a Kohen Gadol, but he's an Am Aretz. In other words, if he lets a Am Aretz Kohen, and even if that person is the Kohen Gadol, go ahead of him, and in other words, let's follow like Rashi, that he allows him to be the one who's mezamein for Birchas HaMazon, so then, also Talmud Chacham, that Talmud Chacham who seems to be doing a nice thing is Chayav Misa. He's not allowed to do that, because it's the Torah that he's, so to say, not giving full cover to by allowing an Am Aretz to go ahead of him. The din is that Talmud Chacham should be the one to lead it. And if the coin's a Talmud Chacham, so he would get precedence over other people. But if the coin's not a Talmud Chacham, so then the Talmud Chacham should be the one to lead it. And if the coin is given the right to go and lead the benching when there is a Talmud Chacham precedent present, so that's a problem. So Shenemar, as the pasuk says, now this is a pasuk from Mishlei, which you read in one way, but it's darshened in another way. Shenemar, the pasuk tells us, "Kol misanai, misanai mean those that hate me, avum avos. They're going to love death because that's what's going to happen to them." But don't read the word misanai, altikri misanai, those that hate me, ela masnei, those that caused me to be hated. If you allow a non Talmud Chacham to go and lead, so that basically says that the Torah is not important, and you're going to cause people to have little respect for Talmidei Chachamim. If the Am Haaretz gets the same rights as the Talmud Chacham, well, he happens to be a Kohen, so we're going to give him the Aliyah, even though there's a huge Talmud Chacham present, so that shows that it's not important to be a Talmud Chacham. Now again, I want to stress that this is halacha that is timeless, but it's not practiced today because of the fact that it's going to lead to fighting. And Chazal said, we reached such a low point in our lives that the likelihood of somebody getting into a fight by saying, hey, how come you let him go and lead the benching, but you didn't let me, so you think he's a Talmud Chacham and I'm not. How come you let him go get Kohen Aliyah when you were present, but when I'm present, you take the Kohen Aliyah, so it's just going to lead to too much fighting. The Gabbayim get into enough trouble as it is. So practically, since we can't really know how to enforce this law, so the law is pushed aside, and we allow a Kohen to get the Aliyah no matter what. Now, I should point out that Tosus also does add over here that these dinim of always giving the Kohen the Aliyah first can be, under certain circumstances, even pushed aside today on a Monday or a Thursday, or by Mincha, by Shabbos. And that's the situation that is brought down lahalacha, that if you have sometimes two chiyuvim present, and both of them have a yotzei bo bayom, for example, so then you can ask for the mechila of the Kohen. It's probably less appropriate to have the Kohen leave the shul. Some people do that. What you should really do, and you have to go and ask them, is say, b'mechilas kohanim, the kohanim amarcho, since we have a person who is a chiyuv this day, to go give the Kohen's Aliyah to one of the Yisraelim, and then give the Yisrael Aliyah, or the Levi Aliyah, then you don't give it to a Levi. If you give the first Aliyah to Yisrael, then you give the next Aliyah to the other Yisrael who's a Chiyav, and in this way, you are allowed to do this on a Monday or a Thursday or Shabbos by Mincha. And Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal brings this down, halacha lemaisa. So back to the Gemara. We just said that you're not allowed to go and do what Rav Prater seemingly did, which was to allow a Kohen to go and lead the benching, even though Rav Prater was the God of Ador, and he was greater than all of the Kohanim. So how did he let a Kohen lead the benching in his presence? And that's not a praiseworthy thing. That seems to be awesome. So Gemara says, no. Ki kamar ihu bishovin. He did this when there were equals to him. Now, Tosus points out, nobody was equal to Rav Prater, so it doesn't mean over here that they literally were equal to him. First of all, if they really were equal to him, then what's the chiddush of Rav Prater? Then the din is that the Kohen, who is a huge Talmud Chacham, would go over a Yisrael, who's a huge Talmud Chacham. So that would be the din. We know it's not praiseworthy for Rav Prater to do this. That's the din. So again, we're obviously not talking about that they're equal. However, we are talking about that the Kohen was still a Talmud Chacham. And then the people in the room wouldn't say, how can they not give cover to the Torah? They'll say, well, they are giving cover to the Torah. This person's a Talmud Chacham too. Okay, we're not here to go fahar and see who's greater. Okay, and even if we say that Rav Prater is greater, so we understand why Rav Prater is allowing this person to get an Aliyah ahead of him, and that's not going to cause a hatred, masnei, that's not going to cause people to demean the Torah and say the Torah is of no value. Now the Gemara continues and tells us another great Tana. This was the fourth one in the mnemonic that we had from yesterday. This is Rav Nechunya HaGadol, or Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Sholo Tamidov es Rav Nechunya ben Akana, b'meher ach d'yomim. They asked him, to what do you attribute your great length of life? So Amar Lahem, so he told the Tamidim, Miyamai, in all of my days, lo yiskabarati b'kol chaveirai. I never ever got honor from my friends being shamed. Now, it doesn't mean that he didn't get pleasure, that you're not supposed to do either, but it's still about, and we'll see this specifically, he didn't get honor from their embarrassment. Number two, v'lo also amitasi kilas chaveirai. I never went to bed angry with anybody else. And we say this in the Kriyat Shema Lamita every night, that if somebody, Rachmona Lusan, was hiknit or hichnisosi, if somebody caused me trouble, I forgive them. And this is a great thing for a person to do every night, just like Rav Nechumi Nakana, to go and forgive anybody that has hurt you or done something negative against you. It doesn't mean you have to give a financial rights. If somebody stole from you, you're allowed to get the money back. But it's a great idea to go to sleep at night and forgive anybody that did anything bad to you. And this way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also forgive you. If you forgive everybody else, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go forgive you. And then the third thing that he did that he was attributing to his long life was uvatron b'mamun hayisi. And I was not so bedakte. I was a little bit giving up money that was supposed to be coming to me. I didn't always, was not so bedakte to take every single penny that I was entitled to get. Now, we go through these. So, lo niskabadeti b'klon chavei, right? I did not go and get kovod from my shame of a fellow chaver. So that is in accord with Kihod de Rav Huna. Now, Rav Huna lived after, but Kihod de Rav Huna, dore mora akasve. Rav Huna was once carrying a mora. Mora is a hoe or a spade on his back, and along comes one of his tamidim, also Rav Chana bar Chanilai, they called Dari Minei. He wanted to take it. Rav Chana bar Chanilai said, I'm not going to let the Rebbe go carry this spade. I'm going to carry this spade for the Rebbe. So Rav Huna didn't want to allow this. Amalei, he said to him, Irigilas the Doris b'mosech Dari. If you normally go and carry such tools around in your town, and this is your custom, so then, okay, then I don't mind if you go and, do me this favor. And the reason why it would be even a positive thing to do is because a Rebbe is supposed to let a Talmud serve him. So if you're not going to be embarrassed by doing this because you always do something like this, so gesundheit, you can go carry my spade, my hoe now. However, if you would never do this for yourself, it's below your dignity to go carry a spade in your town. You're the Rav over here. If you would go and not do this for yourself, Vilo, so then how can I let you go and degrade yourself in my honor? Isyakure ana, I should get honored by not having to carry the spade at your expense, viziluso didach, because you're now doing something that you know wouldn't do, so I should be honored while you're being embarrassed. Oh, that's lo nichali. I don't want that. That doesn't give me any pleasure whatsoever. So that's what it means, that through your embarrassment, I get honored. I don't want something like that. Mark continues and says, likewise, Rav Nechui ben HaKohen said, lo also amitasi kil las chaver. I never went to bed angry at my fellow man, Kihad Marzutra, and this is in accord with what Marzutra said. He have a solid lapuri. When he would go to sleep at night, he would say, Omar, shori le. Now that's the gear that we have. The Bach adds over here the words shori le mare, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should go and forgive such a person, l'chol man de tzaren. Anybody that caused me tzar, anybody that caused me aggravation, anybody that caused me troubles, so I forgive them. Again, doesn't mean you're giving up your monetary rights. So a person shouldn't say, well, he owes me the money, how can I just forgive him? No, you're entitled to go take the person to a din Torah, but you try to remove yourself the anger that you have against that person and the tzar that person caused you. You're willing to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I forgive him, you should forgive him, and therefore that's a tremendous midah to have, and he attributed his long life to that midah. Finally, the third action that Rav Nechunya did that he attributed to his long life was uvatron b'mamon ha'yisi, and I was not so makbid, I wasn't so medakde to go and take every penny that was owed to me. This is based upon what they said, Eov vatron b'mamoni hava. Eov, the great Eov, who suffered so much, he was not makbid on every penny that he was owed. Shoyam aniach pruto lechemvani mimamoni, that he would leave over the penny that he was actually entitled to get from the storekeeper. So something was, 99 cents, so he would give a dollar. So when he got the change of a penny, so he wouldn't go and trouble himself for the penny. Now, this sounds like it's a, really simple type of thing. That's not what we would have thought maybe was a vatron amamone. So the Mefarshim bring down as follows. The Maral says, Ein roi levato legamre amamashlo. A person isn't allowed to just be casual with his money. We see from the story of Yaakov and the Pach Shemen that he went to go back to get back the Pachim Kitanim that he had. So a tzaddik, he earned everything righteously, so you're not allowed to just go dispense with your money, other than tzedakah. That's not called, you're throwing away your money. That's not called not being careful with your money. That's doing proper things with your money. But to just say, big deal about that, so that you're not supposed to do. Rak kafiya ofen shekosav kan. So a person should be not medakdek so much to every literal penny, but a person should be medakdek with their money to a certain extent. And the Mefarshim bring down further over here, that we're dealing here with something like schirus palam, hiring workers. Sheminaga olam, Rashi says, and this is in the Gemara elsewhere, in Bava Basra, Sheminaga olam, Shemishishlo melacha muetes lasos, v'sachar chatzi pruta. If somebody has a very minimal amount of work that he has to have done, and it's not worth a full penny, then you can't pay him a smaller coin. They didn't have a half a penny. So what they would do was they would go buy something like an egg or something from the store, and you take half the egg and I'll take half the egg. So Eov was a vatch, and he said, no, here you take the full penny. I'm not going to go buy an egg and split it with you. You can have the full penny. So that's what it means that he was a vatch on al-mamona. As an aside, I'll mention that in today's Mishnah Yomis, we also have Maisa in the Gemara in Brachos, the Mishnah in Brachos in the fourth parak. The second Mishnah tells us about the practice that Rabbi Chunin ben Hakana had, that he would always say a Tvila Ketzorah when he went into the Beis Medrash, and he would always say a Tvila when he went out of the Beis Medrash. So again, today is a day special for Rabbi Chunin ben Hakana. Gemara continues and tells us that even Rabbi Akiva went to ask Rabbi Nechunya HaGadol, Rabbi Nechunya HaKona question. Shaul Rabbi Akiva asked Rabbi Nechunya HaGadol, and he asked him the following, somewhere in course the word Amalo, because it says that he went to ask him. So in any event, Bamer Achdi Yomim, he asked him, to what do you attribute your great life, your long life? So Asu Gavze, the Gavze Rashi tells us Asarisim, literally it means a person who's emasculated, a eunuch, but I'm not sure it means that literally. It really means over here somebody, the Hayu Avodim Mishosim also, they were workers who spent all their time and helped out the person they were assisting. Maybe that's why they emasculated them. I'm not sure exactly if it literally means that this is what they were. Maybe they were like that and that they had no other outside desires. In any event, these Gavze, these servants of Rabbi Chunya ben Hakana, so they were very upset. Rabbi Akiva was asking the Rebbe, how come you're such an old man? Because they took it as an insult. Rashi explains, Svurin hayu, shayakatz b'chayav, that he was upset that he lived so long. Like, you're taking up resources, you're an old man. What are you taking up resources for? Like, unfortunately, some people in the secular society say. In any event, so they hit him. So Solik Yosef Aresha the Dikla. But Rabbi Akiva had some questions he had to ask, including, how come you lived so long? So he ran away from them, and he climbed up on top of a palm tree, and he Aresha the Dikla, and he asked his questions from up there. So Amalei, Rabbi Akiva asked him, he says, Rabbi, the pasuk says, "Im hakeves hoyachot taseh b'boker." So keves is singular. So why do you have to say hoyachot? So im keves hoyachot taseh b'boker. Why does this have to say both of them? If you tell me keves, lo min emar echot. Why do you have to say echot as well? So they obviously saw, therefore, that he was a big talmid chacham. This was Rabbi Akiva. So amal hu. So Rabbi Nechui ben Hakana told his gavaza, he told his servants over here, leave him alone. So the rabbanon hu. He wasn't asking me in a bad way. He wasn't upset that I'm an old man and that I lived so long, but he was asking Geshayla. And therefore, leave him alone, shavku, and amalei. And then he answered Rabbi Akiva, the reason why the pasuk says, es hakeves ho echad, so that tells us, echad miyuchad shebedro, which should be the special one. You don't give a Kodesh Baruch Hu just anyone, you give him the best. So it means the echad, the keves. Okay, now Rabbi Akiva had asked him, "Baber achti yomim." So now Rabbi Nechum ben Hakana answers that as well. So I'm alone. Miyamai lo kibalti matanos. I never accepted gifts from anybody. We'll explain that. V'lo amadati amidosai, and I also am not machbid on other people. In other words, I never stood up for my rights that I was entitled to. And the third thing we had already learned, uvatron b'mamonia yisa, and I was a person that wasn't so machbid on every single penny that was owed to me. So the third one we had already discussed moments ago. So the Gemara now discusses the first two things. So Loki Balti Matanos, he told Rabbi Akiva that I never accepted presents, and that's in accord with the custom of Rabbi Lozer. There was we'll see a machlos between Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Zera, how should one deal with presents? So he followed the more strict pattern practice of Rabbi Lozer. The other Rabbi Lozer, what did Rabbi Lozer do? Again, he lived earlier than them. This machlokus later on is often, we have this in the Shas, that we have a later group of Amarayim or Tamidei Chachamim that are, their names are mentioned by the earliest sages, not because they actually knew them. Obviously, they lived much later and they weren't born yet, but because that idea was already present and we just attribute the machlokus or the statement in their name. So in any event, he did the practice like Rabbi Lozer did. Now, what did Rabbi Lozer do? When they would send Rabbi Lozer presents from the house of the Nasi, the Bey Nasiya, so lo havi shakel, he wouldn't take them. He said, no, I don't accept presents. We'll see in a moment why. And when they were inviting him to go and eat by them, lo havi yozel, he wouldn't go. And he told them, amaluhu, said to the Bey Nasiya, lo nicha luhu diachya, you don't want me to live? You're not happy that I'm alive? In other words, the pasuk, he says, dichsiv, as the pasuk, and Mishlei tells us, Sone matonos yichyeh. A person who hates presents, he will live. In other words, taking presents is not good for Arichas Yomim. So therefore, I don't take any presents. That's what Rabbi Lozer did, and that's what Rabbi Nechum ben Hakana also did. I don't take presents. Now that was Rabbi Lozer's presence. Rabbi Zeira had a slightly different understanding. of this. Now, Rav Zeira, ki havimash mishadre le mibein asiya, he also would be given presents that they send to him from the bein asiya's house. However, lo havishakol, those he wouldn't take. But ki havizane le also. But if they would invite him to go eat by the house, he would go and eat. Now, how come? If he also believes in soni matonos yichya as an absolute, so then why would he accept going to their house? But he wouldn't accept presents from them if they sent it to him. So he explained as follows. He says, I'm not accepting a present when I go to them. They're taking me as a present, so to say. When I go there, I'm honoring them. So they're happy that I'm going. Amar isyakure demisyakre bi. By my going to them, I'm honoring them. So therefore, I'm doing them a favor, not the other way around. So I'm not getting a present from them. They're really getting a present from me. And therefore, he felt it was okay for him to go there. But if they sent him a present and he takes it, that, he said, that would be soni matonos yichya as well. Okay. Then Rabbi Nachman ben Akana had told Rabbi Akiva, below Amarat Yamidosai, that I wasn't makbid about standing up every single affront to me. So he said, tell me, Robert, this is based on what Robert said. This is one of the most important principles of life. This is a major game-changing principle that if people were to understand this, the world would be such a more pleasant place to live. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us the way we deal with other people. The way you measure other people, that's the way God measures you. So if you're extremely generous and kind to other people, God will be extremely generous and kind to you. And that's what Rav is telling us. If you are mavir amidosav, in other words, you let things fly by you. You let things slide off you. You don't take affront at every single insult that somebody gives you. You don't feel you have to give back as good as you got. You don't answer every insult to you with an insult back to that person. I got you better than you got me. If you're mavir amidosav, if you pass over when people say things to you and you don't go and take what arguably would be an appropriate response from a pure secular point of view. Well, he insulted me, so I should go back and insult him. If somebody doesn't do this, so then in Shamayim, they treat you the same way. So that they overlook some of the things you did. If in Shamayim, they see that you're very kind and generous to other people, and you give everybody the benefit of the doubt, and you're not quick to be insulted, so then in Shamayim, they say, well, he didn't really mean to do that. He didn't mean to insult HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't mean to go and do that Aveira intentionally. So they treat you much more kindly as well. And this is based upon the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us in Micha, Shenemar, Nosei Avon V'Over Al Pesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Nosei Avon. He is the one who carries your Aveiros, your Avon, your transgressions, V'Over Al Pesh. And he passes over your Pishoyim, your sins. So therefore, what does this mean? Lemi Nosei Avon. To who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, carry your sins? Lemi Sh'Over Al Pesh. The person who himself goes and doesn't take insult and affront at everything somebody throws at him. Again, this is a life-changing midah that if we all could practice this better, we would all be much better off in Shemayim, but the world would be a much more pleasant place to live as well. Gemara continues and tells us, Shaw Rebbe, the great review that Nasi asked Yerushu ben Karcha, and he said to him, Amer after Yomim, to what do you attribute your great length of life? So Yerushu was surprised at this question, and I'm alone, Katzta b'chayai? Are you upset that I'm living so long? Again, very secular attitude that people have is that older people don't really serve any purpose. Once they can't go play golf anymore, so then they're no longer valuable, and they should stop using up resources of the world. So Yerushu ben Karcha was surprised that Rebbe asked this question. He said, dude, what does it bother you if I'm alive still? Are you really so upset that I am alive? So Chas Hashom, Rebbe said to him, no, Rebbe, Torahi, Ulumo, then he said, Rebbe, he called Rav Shuv and Koch, his Rebbe. Rebbe, I need to know, what did you do to accomplish having such a long life so I can try to do the same thing, so I can do the right thing? So then Rav Shuv, of course, says, oh, that's what you're asking. That's a great question. She says, Miyomai lo nistakalti bidmus odum rosha. In my entire life, I never looked at the face, at the panim of an odum rosha. Because this is based upon Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan tells us, also li odum nistakal bitzelem demus odum rosha. That you're not supposed to look at the face of an odum rosha. Why is this? This is based upon a pasuk in Melachim Beis. Shinemar tells us over there that when Yehoshaphat became an ally with Yehoram. Yehoshaphat was the Melech of Yehuda, and Yehoram was the Melech of Yisrael, the northern kingdom. Now Yehoshaphat was a big tzaddik, and Yehoram was a big Rasha. So they went to ask the Navi, Elisha, what they should do to go and fight against Mesha Melech Moav. And so normally, Elisha wouldn't go and speak with Yehoram. He says, don't look at a Rasha. But since he came with Yehoshaphat, so he told him, Shenemar, Lulei Pnei Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda. If it wasn't for the fact that Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda, Ani Noseh, I'm looking at him and talking with him, so then, im abit elecha b'ereka. Otherwise, I wouldn't be looking at you, and I would have nothing to do with you. So therefore, you see from here that you shouldn't look at the Pnei Rasha. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Elazar, Amar, Rabbi Elazar adds, and he says, not only that, if you do look at a Rasha, ain't of chaos, your eyesight will become weakened. And this is based upon the Maisa with Yitzchak. It says, Shenema, vahi ki zokin Yitzchak, vatichena ain't of Meiros. When Yitzchak got older, his eyes became weak from seeing. That's how you literally translate the words Meiros, from seeing. But that's not what it really is darshaned. We darshan it Mishum, the Istako, the Ace of Arusha, since he had looked at Ace of Arusha, Meiros, since he looked at Ace of Arusha, that's why his eyes became weak. Now, the Medrash tells us another reason as well, that it was from the Avodah Zorah, the Ashan, the smoke from the Avodah Zorah that Esav's wives made, that his eyes became dim as well. But the Gemara now asks a different question. Is that really the cause of Ha Gorma Lay? Is that the reason why Yitzchak Avinu's eyes became dim? Rav Yitzchak tells us, L'olam alti killas hedjo kalabe necha. Never take the curse, or the bracha we have, by the way, of a hedjot lightly. Because Shahari Avimelech, who's the hedjot, even though he's a king, he's called the hedjot, he's a simple, plain person, he had no real zuchusim. Nevertheless, Kilel Esari, he cursed Sarah, we'll see in a moment where, and that was Niskayim and Bizarra. It didn't take effect on Sarah, but it took effect on her progeny, on Yitzchak Avinu. Shenemar, Hinehu Loch Kisus Einayim. When the Maisa with Abimelech took place, so he said that it will be a ksus einayim. Now, what does that mean? So it literally means that he gave her money to be like a gift. You should wear a ksus, means clothing, so you'll have a gift of honor. However, don't read the word ksus as clothing. Atikri ksus ela kisias einayim. This will not be for you a good thing. It will be a covering of your eyes. In other words, you will become blind. That didn't take effect on Sarah, but it took effect on her son, Yitzchak Avinu. So there, how can you tell me that it was from looking at Yitzchak looking at Esav? Wasn't it from the curse of Avimelech? So Gemara says, no, both of them caused it. Ha, v'ha, gormalei. And one could add, the same thing would be by the Ashan of the Avodah Zarah, from the smoke of the offerings that Esav's wives brought to Avodah Zarah. That also, ha, v'ha, gormalei. All these were multiple reasons. Rav Amar, another pasuk, as to why you shouldn't look at a Rasha, Mihochi says, this is the source of this idea, and it's from Mishle, Se'es Pnei Rasha, to go and seis, to carry the face of a Rasha, in other words, to go and be with a Rasha, to look at a Rasha, Lotov, that's not good for you. Now, we had the discussion between Rebbe and Rebbe Shulman Karcha, so at the time that Rebbe took leave of Rebbe Shua ben Karcha, b'shas b'ti Rasa, when he left him, amalo. So Rebbe asked Rebbe Shua ben Karcha, Rebbe, barcheini, please give me a bracha. So Rebbe Shua ben Karcha gives him a bracha, amalo, sure, yiratzon, shetagia l'chatzi yomai. I give you a bracha that you should live to be half my age, right? I'm a rach to yomim, you should live half as long as I. Now Gemara says, ulakulo lo. Rebbe asked him, why aren't you giving me the bracha for your full age? Why am I, so to say, getting only a half a bracha? So I'm a low. So Rav Shulman Karcha told Rebbe, Haboyim acharecha behema yiru, your children, don't you want them to be the nasi? You want them to be shepherds taking care of animals and not become the nasi? If you have a very long life, if you double your life, so then your children aren't ever going to become the nasi, and that's not something that a father ever wants his children not to be successful, so therefore I only gave you this bracha for half of my years of life. Now, it's still a little bit hard to understand. So first of all, we have to say that Rav Shulman Karcha lived to be a very, very great age. So half of his age is still a great bracha. The Gemara elsewhere tells us that he had a child when he was 130 years old. So it certainly would be a great bracha to live to even, to be told in those days, certainly when the life expectancy was not as long, to live to half of Rav Shulman Karcha's total age is certainly something that is a good thing still. Nevertheless, why didn't he give him the full bracha? So the Maharsha says that if Rebbe had lived a longer life, he would have seen Nebuch, his children, die in his time, and that's not something that a parent would want. That's what the Maharsha says. And he adds, Shailu Levarcho Shigam Bonav Yisku Larichas Yomim. the Yeshua's and the Seer. So why didn't he say that both you and your children should have Arichas Yomim? So the Isha Yisrael gives a beautiful teretz to that. And he says, Arichas Yomim ain't obo al chinam. You can't just be blessed and have a long life by somebody. You have to, so to say, earn it. So Rishua ben Karcha knew that Rebbe would earn a long life if he gave him that bracha. But he didn't know if his children would earn the long life, and therefore he chose not to give Rebbe that long life bracha as long as Rishua ben Karcha, but he gave him a bracha that he should have a long life. The Sefer Tehillah of Tiferes adds an interesting idea. He says that the days that a person is designated to have, how long a person is designated to live, is already set beforehand. And you really can't push it aside. And this was especially true if you're supposed to be the Nasi for a certain amount of time. When you have like David and Shlomo, David wanted to live longer. So he said, let me live longer and Shlomo can take over and I'll be on the side. So Hashem said that doesn't work that way. When one king ends, the next king begins, not before, not afterwards. So too by Rebbe. Had a designated period of time that he would be the Nasi, and his children then were to be the Nasi after him, so that couldn't be something that could easily be pushed aside. Finally, again, if this would have impacted Rebbe's children in a negative way, so Rishu ben Karcha didn't think it appropriate that he give Rebbe a bracha that would negatively impact the children. That's not really called a bracha. Now the Gemara goes on, just a little aside here, since we said you shouldn't look at the panim of a Rasha, so we have two children of Ihi. Ihi was a Talmud Chacham, and Avua bar Ihi. One of them was, if his children was named Avua, Minyamin, the name of his other child was Minyamin. Both of them were the sons of this Talmud Chacham Ihi. So Avua Bar Ihi, the Minyamin Bar Ihi, they both had a certain practice when it came to dealing with Rishayim. So Chadamar, one of them said, Teisi Li, I should receive a reward from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should give me the lo istakli bekusi. I never looked at a kusi. Again, he considered them to be Rishayim, and therefore I didn't look at them. And the other brother said, we don't know which one said which, V'chadamar, Teis Li, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give me the lo avodi shutvis badikusi. I didn't not only look at them, I didn't even make a shutvis with them. Again, try to stay away from Rasha is always a very good policy. Now we continue, Shalom Tamidim is Rav Zeira, B'mer Achtu Yomim, the Tamidim asked Rav Zeira, to what do you attribute your long life, your long years and being on this world? So he told them, Rav Zeira said, I never showed hakpada in my house. I never got angry in my house. I didn't get upset at the people in my house. Now, the Mefarshim bring down, it didn't mean that he didn't ever show them a little bit that he was displeased with what they were doing, but he never truly got angry at them. And this is always a smart idea, because if people know that you get angry very easily, so they're not going to necessarily always tell you the truth. So they're going to, you know, maybe tell you something that's going to be absolutely wrong. Oh, is this kosher? And since you didn't check it out, probably you say, oh, yes, it is kosher, without having gone to the proper way of checking it out. And therefore, there could be terrible takolas that come in a household if people have a fear of the father or of the mother, and therefore, they should be always loved, and it shouldn't be hakpada. And at the same time, you do have to make sure that the house is run properly. So Rav Zeira says, I was always very careful never to get truly angry in my house. Next thing he said, I never walked in front of somebody who's greater than me. Now again, we always said that this is always lifnei mishuras hadin to what they attributed their extra long life for, because you're not allowed to walk in front of somebody who's greater than you. So the Mefarshim bring down that he was makbid over here never even to walk anyway, in a way that you're allowed to walk slightly in front of your Rebbe when you're walking with him. He was very, very makbid to always make sure that he was behind him. He went lifnei mishuras hadin. Similarly, v'lo hirharti b'mevoos hametunafos. So he didn't think Torah when he's walking places where it's also to learn Torah. There is a machlokis as to whether you can think Torah in those places. So the din is that you technically could think Torah in those places, but he was makbid. That's what his lifnei mishuras hadin was over here, that he didn't even think Torah in those places. I think, what's the big deal? He wasn't immersed in Torah. So the answer to that is from the next statement that he made, v'lo halachti dalon amos below Torah below tefillin. He was so immersed in Torah that he never walked, unless it was in the Mavos HaMetunafos, he never walked without thinking of Torah and without wearing his tefillin. So here he was, a person who was so immersed in Torah. Nevertheless, he was so makbid not to go and think Torah in the places that he wasn't allowed to learn Torah in, and there was an opinion that he shouldn't even think Torah in those places. So that's how great he was, and that's why he deserved this tremendous bracha of Arichas Yomim. And it says, Lo yashanti beis medrash. He never slept in the beis medrash. Now, nobody's allowed to sleep in the beis medrash, but that's really a shinas keva, set sleep. You can't go pull up a bed and bring it into the beis medrash. But he didn't sleep lo shinas keva, but he also didn't sleep lo shinas aroi. Now, technically, a Talmud Chacham is allowed to take a dremel in the beis medrash. He puts his head down on his bench and he takes a little nap. So that you're technically allowed to do because he's a ben bayis over there. He lives in the beis medrash, so he's allowed to go take a little nap over there. But Reb Zeira was mocked, but not even to do that. And I never got happy when one of my chaverim had a stumble, had a fall. Even in a way that it was permissible to do so, he was mocked but not to do so. And then finally, below Karasi lechaverai. Now we have different girsos over here, and we'll just read it with the girsa that is on the side. Below Karasi lechaverai b'chachi noso, and others say v'amrei lo b'chanichoso. And basically, both of these are different types of nicknames. Either one is a real nickname, even though it's not a negative nickname. You're not allowed to ever call somebody by a negative nickname, but you are allowed to call somebody technically by a name that is not negative. Or others say that this was a last name, some sort of an additional name. So he was machmir never to even use any of those kinuyim, because one shouldn't call anybody other than by their right name. We begin the next mission of Oda by Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, furthermore. Now, why do we use this term, furthermore? So Tosus points out, in Dibra Masel the Ode, he says, Koshim, I the Ode. Why is this word V'od over here? Because, D'ho le'el havimekel tvei michachomim. V'od here, since this is a chumra that he's bringing down, it seems to go against the idea before, at the end of the last Mishnah, that he was mekel to say that once you sold it to a person, the shul, then you sold the shul to a person, a private person, and then he can go do with it whatever he wanted. Even the most not pleasant types of activities that could be done, like a bathhouse or a bathroom. So it seems that was a kula. But as we pointed out then, and this is where I got it from, this Tosus over here, he says that the first part of his statement was that you couldn't sell it to a person to use officially for anything other than a chotzer. So therefore, that was really a chumra. There were two aspects, as we pointed out then, a chumra and a kula. So that's why the ode over here is a kula. Furthermore, Tosus says, V'od, the Yomar Yehuda Klomer, the old chumra cheres b'lvad rishona. So this is saying that in addition to that chumra, so he's bringing down another chumra over here. Okay. In any event, what did Rabbi Yehuda tell us now? Basic knesset shecharav. If you have a basic knesset that unfortunately has become ruined, it's destroyed. Doesn't make a difference why that was. Was somebody actually destroyed it, or it just naturally became ruined out of non-usage? People moved from the neighborhood, etc. So in these situations, it still retains a certain level of kedusha, and you can't do certain things in that area, such as ein maspidim besochi. You're not allowed to have the hesped for regular people in that area. But you would be allowed to have a hesped for a rabbin, and we'll just find what that exactly means when we get to the Gemara. And likewise, vein mafshilin. Mafshilin is a lashon of twisting, and you're not allowed to go and make ropes. V'socho chavolim. You're not allowed to go and use this space. Specifically, Rashi says that it gives this example because hu adin l'cho melach. You're not allowed to do any melach here. It's not proper to do melach inside this old destroyed shul. Elofi shavsholas chavolim. Why is it specifically mentioned about the ropes? Is you need mokom marvuach. Panoi, you need a large open space to do this. Ubeisa knesses gadolu, and the shuls were big. Uroi umaspik lekach, and therefore it was an example of something that you would consider using this old shul for, and you shouldn't do it. It still retains its kedusha. Vein parushin lisocho metudos, you shouldn't likewise spread out nets. Again, you need a large space. That's why it gives us this example to spread out nets. And likewise, vein shodchin even al gago, even on the rooftop, peros, even the rooftop of this old destroyed shul still has kedusha to it, and you're not allowed to spread out fruits to dry them out. So all of these are not allowed to be done. And likewise, in osin oso kapandraria, you're not allowed to go make it into a shortcut. We'll discuss the derivation of the word kapandraria when we get to the Gemara as well. It means making a shortcut through the shul. Now, why is this so? So the Mishnah tells us shenema, because the pasuk from Vayikra tells us, v'hashimosi es mikdashechem. In the Tocha it says, I will destroy and I will make empty your holy places, your mikdashecha. So kedushasan, they're called a mikdash, they have kedusha, af kishen shomim, even though they are no longer being used, they're empty. So therefore, we see that this lashon of kedusha still applies, even though they're no longer being used. Vashimosi means when they're empty. Olubo asavim, if grass grows over there, lo yitlosh, you're not allowed to go and mow it, you're not allowed to go and get rid of it, as opposed to in a regular shul, that they had dirt floors, you had to go and make sure that they were properly maintained. But in the old shul that's no longer being used, it was destroyed, so then You let the grass grow over there. Lo yitlosh b'mnei agmas nefesh, in order to inspire people to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who actually says you leave the grass there, kadesh yitei agmas nefesh l'roei, and people will be this upset and distressed to see the grass growing in what used to be a beautiful shul, vibrant shul. V'shaskiru esyemei binyano, and they'll remember, used to be this place was a great shul. V'shayu regilin l'sasif shalom, and all the people used to gather in the daven. Yevachshu rachamim shachzuru l'kadbusom, and they'll all be able to now be better able to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to restore this shul to its glory. Okay, let's start the Gemara. Tadu Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us, Batik Nesios Eino Lekim Behen Kalos Rosh. A shul is not allowed to have lightheaded activities going on in it, such as Ein Oklevem, you're not allowed to go eat in a shul. Ein Shosem, you're not allowed to drink in a shul. We turn to Chav Chesam Ubeis. Vein Neosin Behem. Neosin is a lotion of Miskashtin, Rashti says, to get dressed in it, to adorn yourself in it. And likewise, Vein Metailin Behem. You're not allowed to go take a spatzir. You're not allowed to take a walk in this large, beautiful indoor track. So you're not allowed to go and walk over there inside the large space of the shul. Vein Nechnosin Behem Bechama Bnei Chama. And in the summertime, you can't go inside because it's too hot outside. So you go get some shade, go cool off in the shul. And likewise, in the wintertime, it's too cold or it's too rainy. But Gishamim, Bnei Gishamim, you can't go inside to get out of the cold, to get out of the rain. And likewise, Vein Maspid Behem Hesbit Shul Yochid. You don't normally make a hesbit in a shul for an individual, for a yochid, as opposed to for the Rav or Talmud Chacham, so then you are allowed to go and make a hesped inside the shul. We'll discuss this more in the Gemara as well. Avul Karmen, but you are allowed to use a shul to learn in. You might have thought that, oh, you can only dive in a shul. No, of course you can learn in a shul. Vishonin Behem, you can read Psukim, Korin, Shonin is Mishnayis, Umaspidim, and Hesbit Shul Rabim. And likewise, if it's a person of great stature, a public personality, not only a Rav, but somebody who the Rabbanim are going to come and deliver that spadim for, then you can even use a shul for that. Rav Yehuda adds further. He says, Om Rav Yehuda, a Masai, under what circumstances was this Braisa talking about? It says, be yeshuvan, when the shuls are still being used, that you can't have kalas rosh, etc. Avo b'chorbanon, but nebuch, when the shul is destroyed, then manichno so, v'olin behen asovim v'lo yitlosh. Then, after the shul is no longer being used, you let the grass grow, and you don't go and mow it. You don't go and uproot the grass that are growing there. Again, ne'agmas nefesh we spoke about before, to encourage people to daven that the shul should be rebuilt. So the Gemara questions Rav Yehuda, what in the world did he suddenly bring in the grass? Asavim mandekar shmayu. Where was that brought up that he should now bring it in to the discussion? So the Gemara says, Chisusim mechsera v'achitani, that there were words missing over here from this Braisa. And the Braisa reads as follows. So the Braisa continued, we didn't have that part, the Braisa continues and says, you have to take proper care of a shul that's vibrant. So you have to clean it out, you have to sweep it out. So they used to have dirt floors, so they used to sprinkle either water or wine on them to make sure that like the infield in a baseball game when they have the seventh inning stretch and they go and sprinkle the infield, so that's to pat it down so it shouldn't get dusty. So too in the shuls they used to do the same things. That's called marbitzin osan. The reasons why they would sweep it and wet it down was to make sure that it didn't let grass grow there. And Rav Yehuda said, when are you not allowed to let grass go there? Amosai be yeshuvan. That's when the shul is being used. Abu b'chobanan. If Nebuch, the shul is no longer be used, it's destroyed, it's empty. So manichno son lalos. Then you do let the grass grow over there. And in fact, olu b'masavim, if the grass does grow over there, lo yitlosh, you don't uproot it because you want people to daven. If they akbas nefesh, you want them to daven with kavana that Hashem should rebuild the shul. Okay, Rav Asi says, "Bote kinesios shebavavol, the shuls that are built in Bavel, as opposed to the shuls that are built in Eretz Yisrael, are built al tenai heinasuyin. They're built with tenai, allowing them to be used for other things as well." As Rashi says, that this tenai is al menas shiistam shuban, that they can use them for other purposes. So therefore, this is only true for Bavel, which is a temporary type of a shul, as opposed to the shuls in Eretz Yisrael, which are permanent. The Afal Pike, nevertheless, Ain't no argument behind Kalas Rosh. Even there, you're not allowed to have Kalas Rosh. The usages of the shul shouldn't be usages that are Kalas Rosh. As Tosus points out, that we're talking out of Pirush Bibinyana. This is when the shul is in usage. So there, you still can't use Kalas Rosh in it. Shari Chorbana, because Nebuch, the shul is destroyed, Shari B'cholhani, then these things don't apply. You have to tell us this because the Davka Achil B'Shesia, Davka Kalas Rosh B'Yoser, who the Yoser. I might have thought that only eating and drinking, which is very, very light-hearted activity, that you can't do in a shul. Avol cheshbonos, but doing various calculations, that's not really kalas rosh, kol kach, so kodat chamina, then maybe that would be permissible, the shaya, therefore kamash v'lon, that's why the the statement of Rav Matzi is about to tell us that you're not allowed to make cheshbonus over there. So he tells us the Afal Pi Kein ain't noagim behem kalas rosh, and what is the definition of the kalas rosh that they're even talking about? As we just pointed out from Tosos, well, mind you, this is what Rav Matzi says cheshbonus. We're talking about making very public calculations that are going to be public knowledge type of calculations. So that's also a kalas rosh level. Rav Matzi says basically Knesset Shemachashbo cheshbonos melinin bo es hames a shul that allowed calculations to be done inside of it, this type of Kalis Rosh level, so then it will be that they will be forced to go and have a mace stay overnight in the shul. So Gemara says, Melinin Sokadaitach, Losaki de Lavhochi, are you implying that it's therefore a mitzvah to do this? As Rashi says, Mashma de Chovihi, Laholin Boaz Hameis, if the way to counteract that they did calculations that they have to bring a mace into the shul overnight, what in the world are you telling us? So Ravasi says as follows, Ella, Lesov, Shiolinu Bo Mace Mitzvah, that Nebuch, what will be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mida Kenegi Mida, you did something inappropriate in the shul, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it that inappropriately, you're going to have a mace in the shul. It'll be a mace mitzvah that couldn't be buried to in time, and they'll have no other place to put the mace other than in the shul. Then we said in the Braisa, the Eini Osen Behem, you're not allowed to go and be miskashet, to adorn yourself, put on various either clothing or jewelry in the shul. So Amar Rava, Chachamim v'tamidehem mutarim. This is only true for the common people, but the Chachamim tamidim that are living in the shul, so they would be allowed to do so. Amar Shulman Levi, my bay Rabbanon, why is it called the house of the Rabbanon? That name wasn't chosen just by chance, so it's a base of the Rabbanon. That's because that's where the Tamidei Chachamim, so to say, live. So therefore, it is a base medrash, and that's their house. And therefore, if you spend your time in the base medrash, there are certain things that you're entitled to do that other people would not be allowed to do. Then we say, you're not allowed to go into them when it's summer because you get out of the heat, and the gishamim in the winter and the rain. So that's what the Braisa said, and we discuss that further. Such as Kiha, the Ravina, the Rav Adar Bar Masna, these two great Talmidei Chacham, Ravina and Rav Adar Bar Masna, Havukai Mevishale Sheilta MeRava. They were sitting and learning and asking questions to Rava. And what happened? Also, Zilcha Demitra, suddenly a very strong rain came. An island of the Knishta. So they were standing outside the shul, and they went into the shul. Now, it looked like they were going into the shul to get out of the rain, but they said, no, that's not what happened. Amrei, hi, da'ilino lebei knishta labishamitra. The fact that we went to the shul, don't think, people shouldn't misunderstand and think that we went inside to the shul to get out of the rain. No, we were having a serious Torah discussion, and we weren't able to have that serious Torah discussion if the rain was disturbing us. El mishum dishmaita ba'ot siluso kiyoma di'istna. That to understand the sugi that we were going through, it required a clear day. And it required a certain clearness to our thinking that would not be possible if it was pouring rain. And that's why they needed this istanot to come. On the side of the Gemara, the Masoret Shasi says, Kim Shemanashebes Ruach Tzafonis, when the north wind blows, Shenikra istanot, and this northern wind is called the istanot, Yom Orihi, it turns into a beautiful, clear day, the Nocha Lechol, and everybody can enjoy that. So therefore, they needed a clear mind, and they had to go inside the shul to get out of the rain so they could discuss the sugi well. Amalei Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Rav Ashi, Rav Acha, who was Rav's son, said to Rav Ashi, "Yitzruch leila inish lemikrei gavra mibei knishta." My, if you need to go call somebody from shul, so what do you do? How do you go inside the shul? You're not supposed to go into the shul for no reason. How do you go inside to the shul and call somebody out? So Amalei, so Rav Ashi told him, "It depends. Don't go into the shul just to call the person out. Yitzruch rabbanu, if you're a talmud chacham, then lemihilchasa, go into the shul and learn something, and then call him out." So therefore, you're using the shul for Talmud Torah. V'tanuhu, if you're only, quote, a student is able to learn Mishnayis, so then, lema mastisa, so at least learn a Mishnah. V'karuhu, if you're only able to learn Psukim and Chumash, so lema Psukim, so say Pasuk and Chumash. V'lo, if you can't even do any of that, so at least find somebody else, lema le yanuka, tell a young child who's over there, emily Psukim. So tell me your Pasuk that you learned in school. Inami, if that's not available, so then at least Nishe Porta, stay there for a little bit, Vinekum, and then you can get up and go. Because at least staying in the shul a little bit is still a mitzvah in and of itself. This way you didn't just enter in the shul to go and get somebody to come out. Furthermore, we said in the Braiso, Maspid in Bahan Hesbish Rabbim, you're allowed to make a Hesbid that is for a Rabbin. Now, what does that mean for a Rabbin? Hechidomi, what does it mean? Hespedo de Rabbin. So, This was said over in front of Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes, and each of them pointed to the other one to say, if he would be present at this hesped, that would be called the hesped of Rabin. So Machbe Rav Chista kegon hespedo dekoy be Rav Sheshes, and Machbe Rav Sheshes kegon hespedo dekoy be Rav Chista. Each of them was basically alluding to the other one. They didn't want to actually say it out loud. You don't want to say al tiptach pel usotin. You don't want to say something that could chas v'shalom turn out to be true. Say, oh, if he goes to a hesped, or if it's in his household, it's the hesped. So therefore, they just pointed, alluded to the other one. If such a great Talmud Chacham is present, so then that's called a hesped shel Rabbi. Now, we have a couple of ideas of hespedim once we just touched upon the subject. Raphram Asmodele Kalose Bevei Kanishta. Raphram made a huge hesped for his daughter-in-law, Nebuch, she passed away, and he did this inside the shul. So, you learn here a couple of things. That number one, that you make a hesped for a woman. And I think you can learn number two, that he treated his daughter-in-law with great respect. So, Amma Mishum Yukara Didi Udemesa. He said, I'm doing this. People will come because of my honor, but this way I'm giving honor to my daughter-in-law. And Asi Kuli Amma, and everybody will come as a result. Similarly, Rav Zeira Safdei Lahu Mei Rabbanon B'nei Knishta. Rav Zeira once made a hesped for one of the Chachamim in his shul. And he said, well, this way, we'll make sure that we have a great crowd. If people want to come, because I'm there, and now we have the word didei, but the Bach says delete that because it doesn't make any sense. If it's because they're coming to honor the dead person, so again, that's perfectly good. We'll get a large turnout, and this will be a great hesped. This will be a great honor. Okay, that's why you can use the shul. Then the Gemara tells us, Reish Lakish Safdei Lahu Tzuvim Rabbanon. Reish Lakish once gave a hesped for a certain young Talmud Chacham, the Shchiach B'Arid Yisrael, who came to Eretz Yisrael. Reish Lakish lived in Eretz Yisrael, and this young Talmud Chacham from Babel came up frequently to Eretz Yisrael, and Nebuchi passed away. Now this Talmud Chacham was of a certain caliber, but he wasn't of the highest caliber. The Habitani Hilchasa B'Chav Dalei Shurasa, he learned Mishnayis. This Tana over here means Hilchasa, means Mishnayis according to many, and as a result, he was, either teaching the Mishnayis to 24 rows of students, which is very, very nice, or others suggest that he was actually in the 24th row of the students. In other words, he wasn't in the top tier of the students. In any event, this is certainly a certain madrega of greatness, but not the highest level of greatness. And Reish Lakish eulogized him. He said, Oy, oh my vai, Chosra Arad Yisrael, Gavi Rabba. Even though he wasn't a regular resident of Eretz Yisrael, since he used to come frequently to Eretz Yisrael, Reish Lakish bemoaned the fact that he was no longer alive and that we've lost such a great person. Now, that was Reish Lakish. We'll see in a moment why it's important to know that this was Reish Lakish who said this. We have a similar story. How the Habeitani Hilchasa Sifra B'Sifri V'Tosefta, there was another Talmud Chacham that passed away, and he was a huge Talmud Chacham. He learned Sifra, he learned Sifri, all the various drushos on Chumash, and the Toseftas, and the Brises, and he was a big Talmud Chacham. V'Shachav, and he passed away, and also Rav Malei Rav Nachman, Lispedei Lamar, and they came to Rav Nachman in Babel, and they told Rav Nachman, can the Rav Nachman make a hesped for this Talmud Chacham? So Rav Nachman said to them, Hechi Nisvede, what should I say about this guy? He really isn't such a great Talmud Chacham. Hayitzana demoli sifri dechaser. He, or should I say, that we've lost ourselves the svarim shrank, right? He's like a tzana, a basket, demoli sifri, that was filled with books. Now we don't have the basket that fills the books. In other words, he didn't integrate it into him. He didn't really darshan it and study it and really be able to go and become a huge Talmud Chacham. So what should I say about such a person? So Rav Nachman was reluctant to go and praise this person who objectively knew more Torah than the Talmud Chacham, that Reish Lakish was only too happy to praise and praise so greatly, Vay Chasar Arad Yisrael, from the loss of the lesser Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara points out an interesting idea. Tochazi says, the Gemara says, come and see, Ma Bein Takif Ed Arad Yisrael and Lechasidi the Babel. Rav Nachman is not meant to disparage him at all. He was a great, great chassid, and he was 100% correct in saying that this person didn't reach his full potential. He didn't really study as he should have. He memorized a lot of things, but he didn't really understand it. He didn't really fully go and delve into it. So therefore, Rav Nachman, who was a chassid, said, nevertheless, I can't go and give a great hesmet for this person. Whereas Reish Lakish, who was such a stark individual, people wouldn't be allowed to talk to Reish Lakish, because anybody who Reish Lakish did talk with, so then that person didn't even need witnesses to take a loan, because anybody that Reish Lakish talked with must be such a high-level person. So therefore, Reish Lakish didn't really associate with common people, and nevertheless, he's called the Takife Eretz Yisrael, but he was very willing to be magnanimous about the loss of that lesser Talmud Chacham and praised him to a high extent in the eulogy. It's not us. We learned in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, a famous Mishnah, Udishtamesh B'Togah Cholov. If a person uses the Torah learning, the crown of the Torah, so then that will cause him to leave this world early. In other words, you shouldn't use your Torah learning for your own personal benefit. And Reish Lakish said about this, we have the Gersa Tani, some of the words, Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, Zeh Mishtameish B'mish Shoshona Halachas. It means that you shouldn't use somebody who's learned Mishnayis. That person, which is Kisra Shel Torah, so you shouldn't take advantage, so to say, of somebody who's a Talmud Chacham and let him do work for you. Amar Ula Ula said about this, Lishtamish Inish, it's better for a person to use somebody, B'man D'Tani, who's somebody who has learned from the four Siddharm of Mishnayis, that are the common ones, the ones we have mostly Talmud Bavli on. So this would include, of course, Moed, Noshim, and Ezekim, which we have essentially complete versions of the Talmud Bavli, and Kachim as well, which we have a complete version of the Talmud Bavli, as opposed to Zeroyim and Taharos, which we have very limited amounts. Zeroyim, we only have Brachos, and from Taharos, we only have Nida, so therefore, they weren't popularly studied, so therefore, that's why it's called the Arba, the four Siddurim of Mishnayis that were commonly studied. So Ula said that if you have to use somebody, it's better to use a person that has learned them rather than somebody who actually taught them. And this is seen, Kiha, the Reish Lakish have Azuba Urcha. Reish Lakish was going on the road, and Mata Urka Modamai, and he reached a pool of water, and he couldn't get across it without getting wet. So also Ahu Gavra, a man came along and picked up Reish Lakish, Arkevei Akasvei, and put him on his back for Gamarbele, and he carried Reish Lakish along. And the man got wet in the water, but Reish Lakish didn't. So Amalei Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said to him, "No, am I allowed to take advantage of your kindness? Kariz, do you know Psukim?" So Amalei, Karina, yeah, I know Psukim. Tanis, if you learn Mishnayis? He said, yeah. Tanina, Arba Sidri Mishnah. Yeah, I know all the four Sidri Mishnah. So Reish Lakish said, wait a second, Amalei, Pastalta Lecha Arba Ture, you have chiseled out for yourself four poles of Torah learning. The Ta'anta Bar Lakish Akasvech, and yet you're carrying Reish Lakish? Throw me down. Shadi Bar Lakisha, throw down Reish Lakish, throw down me, Vamai, into the water. And the man said, no, I'd rather carry you. Omle, Nihali Dishtamina Lamar. It has given me great zchus to go and carry the master. So please let me go and carry you. And Reish Lakish said, okay, if you're going to go carry me, at least, gemar mini hamilson, let you become a Talmud of mine at least, and this way I would let you carry me. The Amar Zera, and I'm teaching the following day, and Rav Zera said, Benos Yisrael, there's a famous statement of Rav Zera, that the Jewish women, when they've taken upon themselves additional chumras when it comes to Nida, Shafilu rose, tipas dam kitchar, believe they see a little drop of blood, like the side of a mustard seed, Yoshos Allah Shiva the Kim. They always assume that they're in the Yemei Ziva period of time, and they treat themselves with Zayin Akim, that they have to have 7 clean days after that, and that's a huge chumra, because technically, if they saw Tibas Dam Chardel, they might not need to have the 7 clean days, because it depends whether they're in Yemei Nida or whether they're in the Yemei Ziva. So the Benos Yisrael have accepted upon themselves this chumra, that they always consider that they need to have Zayin Akim, 7 clean days, as if they were the blood was seen for 3 consecutive days in the Yemei Ziva. Finally, the Gemara concludes with today's shiur with Tanav Eliyahu, a famous statement from the base Medrash of Eliyahu. Some say it was actually taught by Eliyahu Navi himself. Others say it was a Tana whose name was Eliyahu. Kol Hashona Halachos, anybody who learns Halachos, move to Chlo Shu Ben Olam Abba. So such a person is guaranteed that it'll be a Ben Olam Abba. As the Pasuk says, Nemar, Halichos Olam Lo. Don't read the word Halichos. I'll decree Halichos Ela Halachos. Read it as Halachos. So this concludes today's shiur with the beautiful idea of how important it is to learn, which, Be'ezus Hashem, doing the Daf Yomi, we are fulfilling this idea. With this, we conclude today's shiur.